yours, El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Naked on a picnic table.
No, we've been struggling a lot with financial stuff. What's that, Jeff?
I got my decals.
My congressional district is home to a variety of ecosystems.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Ain't that a bitch? Welcome to our show. Sometimes it's through the looking glass we go. We invite you to join us on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch a live streaming video, and there's some nights, but it's real interesting what's going on behind the scenes. And maybe tonight's one of those nights. But anyway, you can go over there and take a look at our website, philhendryshow.com. And we welcome so many new subscribers. We appreciate you guys joining us. And we've got a couple of things we'll tell you about. Number one, we are working very, very hard at getting 2001 onto the site, onto the archives. Number two, to be able to download the shows from iTunes. Number three, a iPhone app for the Phil Hendry Show. So these are things that we're working on, and we'll give you some ideas to how far along we are when we get far along. A school dismisses a teacher for fornicating outside of marriage. Didn't we already do that story, or is that something else?
No, we did the one about the lady who got arrested for fornication on a bench.
No, that was adultery, that's right.
Yeah, adultery. Not on a bench.
Fornication on a bench.
That's what I thought it said.
All right, well, anyway, plus Carly Fiorina, or
fornication? Ow!
Think that's funny, huh?
I know, you know.
Carly Fiorina gets caught on an open mic talking about Barbara Boxer being like the ugliest hag she ever laid her eyes on, or something like that. And we'll play the audio for you here, 877-876-PHIL. So, as you know, across the country, there were some elections last night. What they were basically were primaries to find out who was going to be running for the particular party in question against the opposing party's nominee. In the state of California, we had a couple of races that went the way of the Republicans and went the way of the women's. The women's what won, and Meg Whitman was one of them. Meg Whitman was the nominee for governor for the Republican Party, or has become the nominee for governor for the Republican Party. Now, this Carly Fiorina was a winner as well, and she got her campaign to unseat Barbara Boxer off to a rather awkward start when she got caught on an open mic today laughing about Barbara Boxer's hairstyle. Maybe it's awkward for some. Maybe it was pretty funny for others. This was a note in Salon, the website, salon.com. While chatting before an interview, she said an acquaintance saw Boxer on TV and said what everyone says, God, what is that hair? She adds while laughing, so yesterday. Now, I don't know. I mean, being a man, I you know, do you guys know?
No, I don't know.
Carly Fiorina has kind of a...
she got like a... Her hair is butch.
Well, it's a short haircut. I guess that's in style a little bit more. Fiorina also criticizes fellow Republican Meg Whitman for the bizarre and very bad choice of going on Sean Hannity's show the first day of the campaign. He is not an easy interview, she says. Let's listen now as Carly Fiorina just opens her big fat trap one day after winning the nomination.
Sacramento.
Yeah?
Yes. Lauda saw Barbara Boxer briefly on television this morning and said what everyone says, God, what is that hair? So yesterday, you didn't...
All right, now here is fear. To me, that stuff isn't all that controversial, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, I better get that open mic, man. That's good.
Well, look, these people have to understand that there is somewhere there is somebody who's rolling a videotape. I mean, they've already got the cameras on them. They're already applying makeup. Tape's rolling. So when you're talking, you know that this stuff is going to be recorded. There is no such thing anymore as off the record. Let's put it that way. There's just too much at stake. There's too many lousy reporters out there. There are too many newspapers, blogs, and websites that need to be fed news. There's too many no-talent bloggers. There's just too much at stake for a lot of no-talent people. You're going to have to put everything, you're going to have to assume that everything's on the record. Otherwise, those bloggers and those lightweight reporters got to go back to waxing cars or selling candy door-to-door, whatever it was they were doing. Now here is Fiorina. She was also caught critiquing Med Whitman's strategy. Whitman is running for California governor.
I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman's going on Sean Hannity. Did you hear that? I think it's bizarre. I mean, she's never been on Sean Hannity. I think it's a very bad choice, actually. You know how he is. Yeah, anyway, that's they said, I mean, it's one, you know, I just, I know it's, but why, after saying no to all these people, would you go on Sean Hannity? That's not the one you would do. Well, maybe, but Sean Hannity is not an easy interview.
Oh, are you kidding? Is she kidding with that? Sean Hannity's not an easy, if you can't answer that guy's softball, Sean thinks he's a tough interviewer. He asks questions that are difficult for people that got like one quarter of their brain, maybe. And listen to this woman, as Fiorina. Why did you pay attention to your own campaign there, Carly, huh? Before somebody hands your ass to you in the general in November. Notice how I say general the same, you know.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
Exactly. You're going to, yeah, I'll tell you one thing, Fiorina. If you wind up getting your ass kicked, people are going to play those clips back over and over and over and over again. Hey, here's what she was talking about as she was getting her ass handed to her by Boxer, talking about Boxer's hair. All right, anyway, so that was what was going on there. Carly Fiorina caught off mic talking about Whitman. And the other thing is, Whitman's going to run her campaign. You run yours, okay, there, Butch? Which, by the way, Carly Fiorina is the woman who was with Hewlett-Packard that was forced out, and it was ugly. And there is a colleague of mine who did work on a website to try to rehabilitate her, and he did a very good job. And here she is running for a senator, and I hope that she paid him a big fat bonus. Because you talk about being rehabilitated, man. This woman, I'll never forget when they forced her out of Hewlett-Packard. You would have sworn she was the most incompetent, inept executive that that company had ever had. Now, I will tell you, I had a Hewlett-Packard laptop, and it doesn't mean anything. It was the worst laptop I've ever had in my life, but that's neither here nor there.
You said you liked it on account of the big screen.
Yeah.
The big screen I liked, okay?
You said it had like a 17-inch?
Where is that?
The screen width, 17. It was a big screen, but the computer itself was a turd. That ain't got nothing to do with her. But I'll tell you, when she got forced out of Hewlett-Packard, yeah, they did not pull any punches. They made it sound like it was ugly. I mean, they dumped the whole reason for the company's struggles on her back, and it was not, they didn't hold back at all. I mean, you see a lot of guys leave companies after the fourth quarter comes out or whatever, and the company is in the just right at the bottom of the barrel, and you see guys getting fired. You don't hear them getting their ass ripped on the way out the door the way she did. But she fought back, and she's got that nomination now for a United States Senate seat that is currently occupied by Barbara Bad Hair Boxer. And so, Carly, take a look at my hairdo. Looks like somebody took some sheep shears to your head, Carly. So just take it real easy, sweetie. And they're coming up in the general election in November. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A woman is arrested after calling 911 looking for love. It's getting kind of asinine now. You cats that are releasing these 911 calls because they're so funny, it's starting to sound a little contrived. It's starting to sound like people are calling 911 in order to get their 911 tape on the news. In other words, you just jump the shark mean anything to you? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know whether we have time to
he said I want to talk to you right now on account of it.
David G. Hall is the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Radio Show, is on the line here. And I understand, David, you have a listener with you?
That is correct, yes. What is your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Dr. Jim Sadler.
And Dr. Sadler, Dr. Sadler had called me. And
is he there with you?
No, he's on another line. Go ahead and tell Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm not sure that I want to tell Miss Stanley directly because he has a reputation. That is true.
A reputation for what? Excuse me, reputation for what?
You're a little ornery with people.
I'm a little ornery. With listeners?
Yeah, with everybody. So here is what I want to say.
You know what? Do we need to talk about this on the air?
I thought this would make a good segment because this is a gentleman who called in. Do you listen, Mr. Henry?
I do. I enjoy his program. But when I heard him say that name, he didn't say it very good.
The man said you didn't say a name good. And
what name?
Well, it's Carly Fiorina. Carly Fiorina. And you were saying Verona and Bologna or something.
I did hear that.
I didn't say Bologna.
Well, I heard something that rhymed with him, Mr. Henry, like Verona or like Sharona, only Verona.
Yeah, and he wanted to point that out, but he was afraid because he said that you yell at people. He's seen you on the video cast sometimes yelling at people.
All right, I really don't want to talk about this. If I mispronounced the name, I didn't think I did.
Well, you did, and because Mr. Sadler had said to me...
Dr. Sadler.
I beg what?
Dr. Jim Sadler.
Dr. Sadler said that you don't know how to say her name. Now, you understand that this woman is running for the United States Senate against this boxer. I'm a conservative. I know you don't like to call yourself that, but I'd like to see her win, because if she wins, then perhaps we have a friend in Washington, the California senator. And if you are, excuse me, Phil, but if you're using her name as a toilet supply,
I thought it was disrespectful.
What do you mean a toilet supply? I don't, if I mispronounced her name...
Well, it sounds intentional.
No, it was not intentional at all, David. I thought it was Fiorina. You're telling me...
It's Fiorina. Fiorina. Is that right, Dr. Sadler?
Yes, Carly Fiorina. I'm a big supporter of her in the San Diego area.
Fiorina. And if you're using her name as something to get rid of jock itch, then...
Why are you saying that, man? I'm not doing it on purpose.
It doesn't matter if you're doing it on purpose. If you throw someone's name around because you don't have the time to figure out how to pronounce it, it's like you're using, you know...
I can tell my wife. It's like you're using their name as a maxi pad.
Maxi pad.
Oh, boy, I tell you, whatever I've done to deserve this, you guys are outdoing me right now using her name as a maxi pad. I happen to be a guy.
We know that. If it was a woman what was doing it, right, Dr. Sandler?
Right, I'd say if it was a woman what was doing it, then that would be... That's what my wife said anyway.
So what we're saying is if you could pronounce a name good, you are a broadcaster. That would be kind of a nice favor to do for me. And
I apologize if I did not pronounce Carly Fiorina's name properly. I certainly did not want to do anything that would upset your plans for the future in politics.
Wait a second. What does that crack mean?
Because that's exactly what you're talking about. You said that if we have a friend in Washington with Carly Fiorina, won't that be great? But not if I use her name as a toilet supply.
Well, look. Oh, so in other words, I'm not allowed to have ambition. Is that right?
And look, I'll do anything that is good for my radio show. What is good for my radio show isn't necessarily what's good for your political career.
Well, Mr. Henry, you have to...
Yeah, excuse me, Dr. Sadler, but I'm talking to Mr. Hall right now, okay?
I would think that.
Yeah, just, Dr. Sadler, forgive me for saying this, but you just shut your mouth. You've got a speech impediment. You must know that.
I understand, but I'm a listener, and am I not the customer?
If you wouldn't mind just shutting the speech impediment, it detracts what you're saying.
Boy, listen to you, man.
What?
But you're ripping into a listener. You just got done telling me that I don't have respect for listeners and that I yell at them.
What did I do wrong?
Boy, your speech impediment.
Well, he does.
Excuse me, but I was a lion tamer at one time in my life, and I lost my tongue in a lion taming accident.
And you went into medicine?
That's right. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? That's the punchline of the joke. Then I went into medicine. Wouldn't you? And...
Look, hold on for a minute, will you, Phil? Are we all done here?
What do you talk about? I want...
Okay, we got rid of him. Now, what I'm saying...
You're talking to a listener like that?
Like what?
Well, you and your speech impediment, would you shut up?
He admitted to having one. He said he lost his tongue in a lion taming accident.
In a lion... a lion taming accident, huh?
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you coming on my program with the, hey, man, I got a friend in Washington, and here's a listener who said you butchered her name. That guy, you know, he's got a lot of gall saying I butchered somebody's name. You heard, and you said he's got a speech impediment. Bologna.
He didn't say you called her Carly Bologna. He said it rhymed with Bologna.
Well, then what? Felona?
Well, yeah, Felona. I don't know what he is. I didn't hear it, but I can well imagine you doing something like that. The point that I'm making, I don't look at Phil. I'm in the middle of your program.
Yeah, that's exactly what you are, man. Right in the middle of my program.
The point that I'm making, if you'll let me finish, this woman just got nominated by the Republican Party to run for the United States Senate out of California. She's going up against a heavy hitter in Boxer. But the fact is, a lot of people think Boxer's ripe for the fall. And if she is, and if this thing falls the way I think it's going to fall, Fiorona or Felona, I don't know what her name is, and I don't care. But she's going to be a friend. And a friend in a very high place. So when you get to her name, would you mind not butchering it at Six Ways to Sunset?
Like you just did?
All right, so I did. You mind?
No, I don't mind at all. I mean, it's a new name. She's a new... You know, maybe she's not that new in the scene, but we don't do all that much in terms of political coverage on this show, so if it was the first time I pronounced her name, I apologize.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Felona or Farini. I don't know what her name is. In actuality, I don't care, as I said. But
it's Farini, or... No, now I forgot.
It's Farina.
It's Farina?
That's that kid from The Little Rascals.
What do you mean, Farina?
Well, that's what I said, Farini.
Oh, God. Thanks, David.
Wait a minute. You can't hang up on me.
877-876-PHIL. What the hell? How do you pronounce the name, Rance? Fiorina. That's what I said.
No, you said Farina.
Farina? Fiorina. Carly Fiorina. She is the nominee. Big deal.
But my Boxer.
What about her? I'd care less about her, too. A woman arrested after calling 911. What about Boxer?
How about that hair on Boxer, though, man? That's so yesterday. That's what they say, anyway.
Look, you two idiots wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. What's so yesterday about Barbara Boxer's hair?
I don't know.
There's no guy that even relates to that. I think Fiorina ought to worry about whether the hair is yesterday. I mean, who the hell cares, man? Unless, of course, you're talking about the women. The women will look at Boxer and say she looks like some old lady, some grandma. Then maybe you're making a point, you know. But I don't know. I can't even remember how Boxer does her hair. Anyway, here's a woman that was arrested after calling 911 and she was looking for love. And like I say, I'm very suspicious of these calls now. I think a lot of these calls are just phony baloney, hoping to hear them on national news or something, okay? I'd like to get your picture in the New York Times.
You've called 3 times. What do you need? I called you back. You don't answer. What is your emergency? What can the police department help you with at this very moment? What do you need?
I don't answer because my telephone is off.
Okay, well, it's not off because you keep dialing 911 and not answering. You hang up and you're not there. What do you need us to do for you right now? I have an emergency call on the other line.
I need to get a husband.
You need to get a husband?
Yeah.
You're calling 911 to get a husband?
Well,
Yes, you know you can get arrested for dialing 911. Do you know you can get arrested for dialing 911?
Let's do it.
You want to get arrested for dialing 911?
Absolutely.
Okay. You stay on the line, okay?
Thank you, dear.
All right, Audrey. Okay, we're going to send you an officer, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And she's got an emergency on the other line, and this jackass is playing games. So the police picked this woman up named Scott, Audrey Scott. Brought her to jail. She stayed in jail for 3 days in a Class 4 misdemeanor, according to Fox Channel 8 in Alliance, Ohio. Now, why do you stay in jail for 3 days on a misdemeanor? Because they won't release you on your own recognizance, and there, I guess, is bond money that is required, and nobody wanted to go or bail.
No, you don't even post a bond.
Right. So she's sitting on her ass in jail. After being released, Scott said she tried to turn 911 into a dating hotline only because she'd had a few too many drinks. I had too much to drink. I was feeling bad. She admits she called 911 for no good reason. The operator who was handling this, Christy Climes, she's been an emergency operator for 21 years. But even after 2 decades of taking calls, she said she was shocked by the request of this woman. We've heard everything, and that's someone. And then someone like this comes along, and you're still like, oh, my God, she just did that. She did not just ask for that, did she? End of quote. All right, so there you go. But the 911 call as a, you know, jackass call has now become What, are they going to start releasing these on a best of or something? Because it's starting to get, it's wearing a little thin. I get it already. There are all kinds of alcoholics, drug addicts, people that love McDonald's and they want shrimp and the shrimp wasn't big enough and something ain't big enough. 877-876-PHIL here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, risky teen behavior.
Woo!
Yeah!
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along with me here. Risky teen behaviors, the five biggest parents should know about.
Now, you should say about what you done as a teenager, too.
Yeah.
I said I'm going to do that, okay?
What do I mean, the five biggest parents?
What do you mean, the five biggest parents?
You said the five biggest parents.
No, I did not. I said risky teen behaviors, the five big... Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Yeah. I knew you missed it.
All right, well, you know, he's the guy that brought it up, not you.
I know.
So why are you talking about it? You're talking about it because he brought it up and you want to get in on correcting Phil.
You messed it up, though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I know. Well, you pointed it out and he's trying to get in on it. Risky teen behaviors, the five biggies parents should know about.
Yeah, but what do you mean about five big? Because what happens is, if you say the five biggest parents, people don't know if you mean, are they famous? Are they fat? Risky teen behavior, then they got five big fat parents.
You must be dumber than you look, Robert. You know that?
What are you talking about, man? You said five biggest parents.
I corrected myself. Five biggies parents should know about.
What's a biggie?
You want to get smacked now, or do you want me to wait till after the show?
I'm just asking.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, man, but you're the one that said it.
All right, if I misspoke, I misspoke, okay?
Yeah, well, so did, what do you call it? Not Fiorona, but...
Clinton?
Yeah.
Hillary Fiorona. Risky teen behaviors, the five... Bud, you don't have to point it out, okay? Get your hand off of it.
Yeah, but that's what it is, the five biggie.
The five biggies parents should know about. God, you cats are the pettiest people I ever met in my life. All this stuff...
Yeah, but you are the one always saying you got to talk clear and talk gooder.
Talk clear and talk gooder. I don't ever say that. I say you got to do it. You're right. I blew it, okay? But you can't tell me that you thought that risky teen behaviors involved having five big parents.
I thought you meant fat.
The risky teen behaviors, the five biggies parents should know about. The five riskiest teen behaviors based on a survey of teens. Now, these are the five riskiest behaviors that this survey of teens that was conducted by the U.S. News and World... Well, I don't know. It was actually the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Not the U.S. News and World Report. They're just reporting on it. Asked teenagers... if they had ever used a prescription drug that wasn't prescribed to them, 23% said yes, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, here are the five riskiest behaviors. Number one, drinking alcohol.
Okay.
Number two, smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
Number three, using hallucinogenic drugs like LSD or mescaline.
All right.
Number four, using ecstasy. And number five, using cocaine. Now, what do all of those have in common?
They all got the teens do it.
Yeah, a teen is going to do all that.
No, that isn't. What do you mean that all teens do it? A lot of adults do that too.
What?
Drink alcohol and smoke marijuana. The five things they have in common. The kids who were surveyed believe that the five riskiest behaviors they engage in all have to do with mind altering, mood changing, or mood enhancing substances. Everything has to do with a drug.
Oh.
Drinking alcohol. Smoking marijuana, using hallucinogenic drugs, using ecstasy, using cocaine.
Okay, so this is where you ought to say what you did and then compare it to what they did now.
Yeah, thanks. Well, yeah, because I said 40 years ago I was in high school. What was the riskiest behavior that I engaged in when I was in high school? The riskiest behavior that I engaged in, this is going to sound crazy, was driving fast. Driving an automobile fast. That was when I look back, I had friends killed. I you know, it's every teenager. I don't think you could go to a high school in America anywhere, any generation. You knew of kids that were killed in automobile accidents. It just happened. So I would, if somebody were to ask me that question when I was a teenager, I'd say driving too fast, because we used to take certain streets really fast. I don't know how I survived that, honest to God. I mean, we went 70 miles an hour down these little tiny single lane streets through Pasadena. Some of them had, I guess you could say they had these abrupt drops or these very steep drops that you would get, the car would get air. Just crazy stuff.
And what's number two?
And then number two would have been shoplifting, stealing.
So you were a thief.
Yeah, I was a thief. Boy, look at you, man. Boy, get a load of Dirty Harry.
Yeah, yeah, point your finger. You're a thief.
Well, you were. You were a thief, man, right?
Yeah, I was a thief. I was a thief.
All right, so that ain't as bad as you using ecstasy.
Who said that it was, man? Are you all of a sudden getting into some kind of a quantitative thing here where, you know, these kids today are better than me?
Well, it looked like it. You're going fast and you're a thief.
Hey, man, just do me a favor. Back off of the judgment thing for 5 seconds, because I ain't saying I'm better than anybody. I'm not saying that I was better at all. You know, a lot of parents are going to tell you, oh, wow, it wasn't as bad when I was a kid. Bull crap, it wasn't as bad. Don't give me that stuff. Wasn't as bad. Well, my goodness, kids didn't carry guns. You know, this thing about kids didn't carry, there were just as many guns. If you think about it, back in the 50s and 60s, you had a whole bunch of war veteran dads, guys that were in combat in World War II. They had guns everywhere. Maybe we didn't grab the gun and run out of the house and wave it around back then. I don't know. Maybe there was a little bit better parenting when it came to that sort of thing. Or perhaps the reporting of those events was not as widespread as it is today. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with, did you have a gun or something?
No, I didn't.
So what was number three then?
Well, wait, what was number two?
I told you what number two was.
You were a thief.
Hey, if you say that one more time.
I'm sorry, you said you steal.
Yes, I stole. I would say when I was a kid, all right, so number one today, drinking alcohol. When I was a kid, number one was going too fast in a car. Number two today, smoking marijuana. Number two for me was stealing. Now they say number three, using hallucinogenic drugs like LSD or mescaline. I would say that that was also number three for us.
Did you ever want to, like, go insane or anything like that?
Yeah, a lot of, like, what about Diane Linkletter? She jumped off a building and everything.
Diane Linkletter, yeah, Art Linkletter, who just passed on. His daughter did, in fact, leap to her death while on LSD. But that, I suspect that girl was very disturbed. I don't know what was wrong with her. I can tell you that that there were plenty of people dropped acid and did not leap out of the windows of buildings. So I think you had to have a... But I'm not getting into that, man. Are you guys listening to me or not?
Yeah, you say number three is exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I would say that number three was the same, using hallucinogenic drugs. So like what I say, going too fast, stealing, using hallucinogenic drugs. Number four, I would say, was the most dangerous behavior that we got involved in, hitchhiking. Hitchhiking.
Oh, yeah, man, the kid don't do that no more.
No, they don't. And we hitchhiked everywhere in those days because it was back in the hippie times, and that's what everybody did. They hitchhiked. And my God, you know, it very dangerous now. I mean, if I would never in a million years, if I saw a kid of mine hitchhiking, I'd flip my, especially my, like my daughter, forget it.
Do you see a lot of girls what hitchhiked and everything? A
lot of girls hitchhiked. Yeah, it was, you know, as a kid, if I saw girls hitchhiking, I would think, boy, they must be some tough chicks, you know. But now as an adult, I would think those kids are like in, they don't know what they're doing, man. So I would say that hitchhiking, exposing ourselves to the possibility of you know, someone doing us harm when we were hitchhiking.
Okay, what about number five? On a list here, it says using cocaine. What about you?
you loving this guy?
Why don't you back off, man?
Yeah, he told you to back off.
All right. So I said driving fast, stealing, using hallucinogenics, hitchhiking. And the number five riskiest thing, God, man, that's going to take me some thinking here. The number five riskiest thing that we did was using drugs at school. Using drugs at school or coming to school on drugs.
Well, what part of, well, that's kind of weird because everybody here say they're doing it.
I don't know. When the kids today say they drink alcohol, smoke weed, use hallucinogenic ecstasy, I don't know if they're saying they're doing it at school. I guess in general, right? But for my generation, it would be very specific to the place, because you could get arrested and thrown in jail for a long time for smoking marijuana back then, whereas today it's not that big of a crime. So I would say that the idea that we would that kids would drop acid.
You said we, man. Yeah, we got you on that one, man.
Yeah, you gotta admit.
No, I ain't admitting nothing. The idea that some of these kids would use drugs at school, or something even stronger than smoking marijuana like LSD at school, that's pretty crazy. I just, you know. So. Number one today, drinking alcohol for us driving fast. Number two, smoking more marijuana for us stealing or shoplifting. Number three, using hallucinogenics. It also was number three for my generation. Number four, using ecstasy. And I said number four was what?
You said number four was dancing.
What do you mean dancing?
You didn't say dancing.
Hitchhiking. That's right. Thank you, Jace. Hitchhiking. And then number five, using drugs at school, going to school on drugs. So there's only two, even though some people may say that, you know, the generation that came out of high school in the 60s was far more immersed in the drug culture. There's only two aspects to only two of these five that I listed that had anything to do with drugs. One was using hallucinogens, the other was using drugs at school. Everything else had to do with hitchhiking, going fast, or stealing. So I guess we were like, are we worse?
I'd say you were way worse, because you're like a criminal element, and a other kid, all they do is just, you know, get hopped up on Sneaky Pea wine, sit around at home, and they're playing like Tadpole or Warcraft.
Yeah, but you said that bad.
What'd I say bad?
You said it's Sneaky Pea wine.
What is Sneaky Pea wine?
You crush up some down and put in a wine.
Kids don't do that today, man. Maybe that's something you did.
Yeah, but that's what you're saying kids today do.
I didn't say anything about Sneaky Pete wine. There's nothing. Sneaky Pete wine.
You probably sit around doing Sneaky Pete.
Man, I don't do it. All I know is the man said that these are five drug.
I didn't say anything about Sneaky Pete wine, did I?
No, but I mean, I'm saying if they sit around doing that.
They're not going to sit around. I don't know what they're sitting around. They're talking about drinking alcohol. All right, well, maybe they are drinking Sneaky Pete. What do you mean Sneaky Pete wine? What kids drop downers? There ain't nothing in here about downers. You understand?
I'm talking about crush them up.
Well, all right, dude. I mean, you know, whatever, okay? So they're crushing up downers and they're dropping them in the wine. Or they're you know, for whatever. They're taking watermelon and they're taking damn cantaloupe and injecting it with vodka. What's the difference?
The different man, you take Sneaky Pete and a vodka injected watermelon? No. It's a whole different ballgame, man.
Well, I ain't never heard of anybody using Sneaky Pete wine in a long time, so forget about it, okay? That's like out of the 50s.
What about slow gin?
That's out of the 60s. Slow gin? Why don't you tell me white port and lemon juice, as long as you're on the subject?
What about that?
White port and lemon juice? Anyway, that's the risky teen behaviors, the five biggies that parents ask you to know about, or the parents should know about. Very interesting. Very interesting. John McCain tweets with Snooki from Jew Shore. I'm kidding. Jersey Shore.
You said Jew Shore.
They're going to come out with a show called Jew Shore. Jason Rance is writing it, and it's going to be way bigger than Jersey Shore. Way, way bigger than Jersey Shore. And a new Facebook for Muslims has been created. 877-876-PHIL.
You belched.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Next season.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
Speaking of, you know, just weird stuff, this was actually a story from a few weeks back, but we didn't get to it. And it does have to do with kids, although these are British kids, so I don't know whether this is actually happening here in the States. This is some of the dumb stuff that the British kids are doing that they will eventually import here.
Yeah, well, you know, make it over here if they're not already.
I'm sure American kids probably do it.
Okay, well, it's something to be proud of. Hey, nobody leaves us behind when it comes to vodka eyeballing. Because that's what they call it, vodka eyeballing, a growing fad among teens. A new trend is raising eyebrows, or more like it, hurting some eyeballs. Doctors say some youngsters are trying out a new drinking stunt where they pour vodka right into their eyeball. You ever had those eyewash things? You know, like if you've gotten something in your eye, you can go to the store and you get eyewash, and it comes with a sort of form-fitting cup that goes over your eye so that when you open your eye up, it is sealed, and you pour the liquid, the eyewash, into that, and you wash it around in your eye. I think they're doing something along that line with the vodka, or they're just pouring the vodka straight into their eyes. It's a trend that's become popular in the United States after British teens posted videos of this drinking game on YouTube. According to the Washington Examiner's website, police in D.C. are particularly concerned about the practice with graduation coming up for the area's local college students. Now, whether or not the cops have had anything to be afraid of, anything actually happening, I don't know. According to, the feared newly minted grads might just celebrate years of education by blinding themselves. Students heading off to the area's annual beach week also raise concerns. Eyeballing gets you drunker faster, according to optometrist Stephen Glasser. Well, nothing like telling the kids that it gets them drunker faster there, optometrist Stephen Glasser. Hopefully, some of them will come to my office. Anyway, when you go through your eye to your sinuses, it is close to a straight injection. The alcohol absorbs into the bloodstream right away. Maryland optometrist Alan Glazier compares eyeballing to an alcohol enema. In essence, you could melt the cornea. Is that what happens to your colon if you...
I don't know. I mean, I never injected in my butt, did you?
Not that I know about.
Not that you know about.
What do you mean, not that you know about?
I don't know if I'd ever had it in there.
Eyeballing caught American teens' attention through a London tabloid. Now you can watch hundreds of YouTube videos showing these idiots, kids screaming in agony as the vodka hits their eyeballs. Oh, God! Naturally, some kids just have to try such searing pain for themselves. Here's the audio from an eyeballing video.
No. Stick it on your eye. Properly on your eye.
Properly.
Stick it on your eye with your eye closed. Good night. Open it. And good then just go back.
Rocket. Also, that stinks. Oh, keep it open. Keep it open.
All over his face. Open your eyes.
Keep it open.
Open your eyes.
Ah!
Yeah, exactly.
That's the positive bit.
Oh, I better sleep on
him.
Open your eyes.
Keep it open.
Anyway.
They're not doing this eyeballing to get drunk. They're doing it after they're drunk. And they're drunk enough to act stupid. So it's not to actually drink it to get more drunk. They're actually doing it as part of a fad. You know, I dare you to do this. This is how popular and how powerful YouTube is.
Oh, don't give me this YouTube bullcrap. This is how powerful and popular teen fads are. Here's another eyeball doctor.
Vodka is about 40 to 50% pure alcohol, which can take off the top layer of the cornea.
Sounds like fun.
Can it make you go blind?
I suppose if it probably could if it causes severe enough scarring of the cornea.
What? All right, well, that's a big qualification there. The reason why I want to be very clear is I remember when they said that there's a lot of urban myths that start. There's just a lot of straight bullcrap that starts about certain drugs. And the stuff is created by, I guess, individuals that don't want you to do something. So they have to lie. You know what I mean?
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Like, you know, hey, if you smoke marijuana, you'll look in the mirror and you turn into a monkey.
No, but that happened to a friend of mine. That is true.
What do you mean it happened to a friend? Smoking marijuana.
Yeah, he hallucinated that he was ape-like.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are crazy.
I swear.
No. Maybe on LSD or something. That's what I'm saying. You guys buy this stuff.
How do you know, man? I heard about a friend of mine smoked weed, and he looked in the mirror, and he ran away. Because he looked like his own grandmother or something. You laughing at, man.
Looked like his own grandmother, huh?
Make me run away.
That's not funny, man.
It's funny to me. He looked in the mirror. He looked like his own grandmother, and he ran away. You guys ought to lighten up a little bit, okay? You heard that doctor. He said, I don't know if it'll make you blind, but it'll peel off the... I don't know. It sounds like a stupid way to this sounds like kind of a dumb thing to do, but if you really want to, if you want to get hammered that quick, dude, just start lining up the shots and just start slamming them back. You'll get messed up quick enough. Anyway, younger teens who are the high school drinkers are the ones who are going to end up trying to do this, according to Mike Gimbel, the president of Mike Gimbel Associates, a substance abuse consulting firm in Maryland. They're going to go to Ocean City, which is very popular in those environs, and some of these idiots are going to do it and make themselves blind, adds Gimbel, who is also Baltimore County's drug czar for 30 years. Gimbel tells the Washington Examiner he's sending out immediate alerts to state police, schools, and parents. But you can't start hanging up YouTube because of this. That's just the wrong way to go. It ain't about YouTube. It's about kids finding out about something that's dangerous, and they're trying it. Smarten the kids up. That's what you got to do. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video and audio and the downloads each and every day. And our producer is Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez, and on the phones, Dan Northcraft.
You messed up Carly Fiorini, too.
Anyway, sorry, Dan.
Phil Hendry.